Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Can I get a volunteer to write on the board something really quick? What we're going to do every week is just review this statement right here, which is the big idea of James. Because by the end of this series, man, it's going to be 3 months, and I just want this like baked into the head and into the heart. So can I get a volunteer to just complete this statement? And I'll tell you what to write, so it's not a quiz. So somebody, anybody?
I'll do it.
Okay, Dave? So the big idea of James is the relationship, and we're gonna all say this in a minute, the relationship between belief and behavior. So everybody together. The big idea of James is the relationship between belief and behavior. That's the core theme of James. I put pens on all the tables. Thanks, Dave. I put pens on all the tables because with your handout today, we're going to do something that's a little classroom-ish. And if you don't have a pen, I have all these like Hebrew words I throw out. If you don't have a pen of your own, I got pens on the table there so you can circle stuff on that handout and so forth, which is what we're going to be going through today. And then if you can, if you don't mind, just leave the pen on the table when we're done. Does anybody here have an NASB version of the Bible? You do? Great. What is your name?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
My name is Ziola.
Ziola, welcome.
Thank you.
Awesome to have you here.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, so you've got NASB?
Yes, let me pull it up.
Okay. Can you look up Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5?
Romans 5, 3 through 5.
Yeah. And by the way, just a quick little note here. I've got like a whole lesson here, and certainly don't want to thwart any of the prayer requests or updates. That's really good stuff. So just bear with me if I like stop in the middle of the lesson today because it's out of time. That's what we'll do, and we'll pick up next week. So I'm all of us teachers really, really struggle with fighting the clock, and I'm sort of all done fighting the clock. So what we get done, we get done, and we pick it up next week, and we'll go from there. So
sorry, you said Romans
5, chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, if you could get that ready to read. And by the way, last week I mentioned Chuck Swindoll. I don't know if you guys listen to Chuck Swindoll, but I also mentioned last week that to me, James is sort of like the Proverbs of the New Testament because of how he says what he says. You know, we went through all those little statements last week. Well, Tuesday morning, I'm getting ready in the bathroom, and I got Chuck Swindoll on, and he says, you know, he's doing James. I heard this like 3 weeks ago. I have like three guys I listen to, and I jumped in like in the middle of his James series. So this time, I thought, well, I'm going to back up and just listen to the beginning. And he says, you know, James is a lot like the Proverbs of the New Testament. And I'm like, no, man, I promise I'm not stealing Chuck Swindoll's stuff. I promise.
But he stole yours.
That's right.
You know what it is? To be honest, I think it's just truth. And I think there's times when, and this is really cool, the Holy Spirit confirms Amen. What different people are saying. I can't tell you how many times during lessons that I've, you know, taught or whatever, I've gone into service afterwards, and Pastor Bob, he says something, I'm like, I'm shrieking down in my seat, like people are going to think like we're like sharing notes or stealing stuff, because he's using literally the same words at times that I use in teaching. And, you know, I promise, it's not plagiarism. It's just, I just thank the Lord. It's like we're on the same page, man. It's like, you know what, that sort of tells me we're all on the team.
The so, truth has always validated Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not stealing from Swindoll.
Yeah.
Let me just pray real quick, then we'll read this section. Father, I just thank you again for this day. Lord, I pray that today you would give us your word deep in our heart, deep in our mind. And Lord, may you be glorified today. May we be more like you today. May we, through this passage and through this lesson, just learn who we are in you more and to love you more and to just bask in your glory. Lord, you're just awesome. And I want to turn this whole lesson over to you and just ask that you would be with us today. And may we just love this truth and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at James 1, 1 through 18. I'll go ahead and read this. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away, for the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too, the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. So for starters, before we dig into that, just a quick, like a contextual overview of what James is emphasizing here. If you can look at your handout, that's why, again, I have that section on there. And by the way, the handout, and this is going to carry over into next week for sure, so please bring this back because you're going to write on it, and please bring it back. Look at verse 2. And grab your pens, please. If anybody doesn't have a pen, grab one. Look at verse 2. Underline brethren. He's addressing believers here is the first thing, not people in general, believers. Verse 3. Underline knowing. How did they know? It's implied. It's implied because they knew by the scriptures and they knew sound doctrine that was taught to them. Okay, so this is implied. What James is doing here in this whole section is an exhortation, okay, which is a reminder of all the things that he's talking about. Verse 3, underline faith. Testing of faith is the specific context of this mention, or trials of temptations, okay? There's trials and temptations, obviously, in all different areas of life. This one here that James is addressing is specifically about testing of faith, okay? Verse 3 and 4, circle the word endurance. That's listed in 3 and 4. Circle that word endurance. Endurance is the focus of this section. And being complete or mature in faith is the goal of this section. And finally, the fruit of being mature in faith is that the believer would lack in nothing. Okay, so you could write, for instance, on your handout there, you could write this. This is a way to look at this. You have endurance. Okay, which leads to complete or mature, which is the better rendering, I think, which leads to lack in nothing. So this is a process, okay? And then right over this, you could actually write this. You could say endurance is the focus, okay? Being complete or mature is the goal. And lacking in nothing is the fruit. So you have endurance leading to being mature, leading to lacking in nothing. This is the focus, this is the goal, and that's the fruit. So jot that down. Then in verse 5, underline the word but. This might be another blessed but, I'm not sure, but underline the word but. So basically what James is saying here is if you don't understand, okay, this maturity process, then ask for wisdom to understand this process. That's what he's saying. Then also in verse 5, underword lacks wisdom. Okay? The context of asking for this wisdom goes back to verses 2 to 4. So draw a line, draw an arrow from that word lacks wisdom back up to verse 2. Okay? And again, this is not referring to asking for wisdom in a general sense, you know, for wisdom to buy the GE wash machine versus the LG. This is talking about wisdom in faith. Okay. I'm gonna read this little statement for you. This is specifically asking for wisdom for the purpose to understand the value of trials. In order to have joy in trials for the purpose of maturity in Christ. Okay? This is specifically asking for wisdom for the purpose to understand the value of trials in order to have joy in trials for the purpose of maturity in Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Too much sense.
Okay. Yeah. And we're almost done with your little markups here. Verse 12. Circle perseveres and circle crown of life. Then put an equal sign after the word under trial. So it'll say under trial equals. And then a colon after promised to. So it'll say promised to colon. Okay, and then underline those who love him. This sounds really, really academic, and we're going to talk about this more as we unfold all this, but this little markup, if you look at how this is done, helps you see and understand the thrust and the interaction between what's being said. Jay?
Can you redo the ones for verse 12? Because I know I missed some of them.
Sure. Circle perseveres.
Okay.
And circle crown of life. Then, put an equal sign after the words under trial, so it'll say under trial equals, and then put a colon after the words promised to. And then lastly, underline those who love him. And then verse 14, write the word desires next to the word lust, because in the original Greek, that's really what that word is, okay? When we read this and we read drawn away after his own lust, we typically think of sexual sin. We think of sexual lust. And that is only one of many references that's happening here when we talk about desires, okay? Let's not oversimplify that. And then lastly, verse 18, underline where it says, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Underline that whole statement. And then circle the words his will and circle the words brought us forth. Okay? And by the way, this little exercise that we're doing is not how I'm going to go through this whole thing, or else we'll be here for probably about 15 years.
Yeah, it would be profitable.
It would be. But it's just something that I saw in this particular passage. I just wanted to sort of dissect here and look at it in this way. So now let's talk about this. So the main thrust of these four, the first four verses, James 1:1-4, what he's doing is he's giving an exhortation. Okay? He's given an exhortation to these believers who were scattered abroad, okay, and being persecuted. He's talking to them about how to persevere, okay? He's helping them with perspective and approach to have regarding trials and temptations. This is a huge, huge issue, and it's what this whole thing is about. You're going to hear, and I'll just jump ahead right now, you're going to hear at the end of this lesson, which probably ain't going to happen until next week, you hear me say this word or this statement: don't waste your trials.
Amen.
Okay?
I use it on my kids all the time. You're just going to have to do it again.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid.
Yeah. That's the day version. Don't be stupid. But don't waste your trials is the thrust of this whole thing, okay? And what he's teaching here is the approach to have regarding these trials and temptations and persevering through them. Again, not to jump ahead too much here, but, you know, we have a choice to make when we have a trial or temptation brought into our life. We say, okay, do we submit to Christ and learn from this? Or do we take a knee-jerk fleshly reaction and complain or run from it, try to go around it rather than through it?
And then have to do it again.
So that is the thrust of this whole thing. And your name again?
Ziola.
Can you read Romans 5, 3 through 5 in the NASB? She's excited.
Precept instructor, so
cool.
Doing
oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wondered if Kay had been here first.
Romans 5,
3 through 5.
Okay.
3, 4, and 5.
And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Thank you. So the point of this whole passage, really, you know, James uses the word endurance. Romans and Paul is using the word perseverance. But what this is doing, one of the things that this is doing, is it's proving to us who we are.
Amen.
When we persevere in the trial versus running from it and wanting nothing to do with it, and let's just talk about taking a secular approach to trying to sidestep everything. Okay, we don't prove anything. And in fact, we'll talk about this, we sort of, in a lot of times, can sort of bring fear on ourselves. Who am I?
Amen.
Whereas when we go through the trial and we allow God to test us and mold us and shape us and cut us, and we say, your will, not mine.
Amen.
That, as this section says, which I think is just absolutely awesome, proves character. And proven character gives hope. Okay?
When we went on a walk, Mike and I, one morning, last week, we were walking through an area that had a valley below us, a little bit of a valley. And I remember looking over at that valley thinking, it was early morning, the sun was shining through, the light was filtering through the trees, and even though it was a little darker down there was still a little bit of light. And what that reminded me of was that even though we're in a valley of suffering and trials, God is still there. You know, his we need to look for his presence. We need to search for it, like that little bit of light that you might see in a valley. In a morning, you know, like that. So,
sure.
Just important to remember.
Yep. So the very thing that we're doing, our endurance, confirms in our hearts that we are the children of God.
Amen.
This is huge stuff. Has anybody here, and this is the kind of stuff that we typically don't ask in church, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I sort of live on the edge. Has anybody here questioned their salvation? There you go. There's a lot of times in my life where I might be sinning or my heart feels cold or whatever it is, and I'm like, man, am I really a believer?
How could I possibly deserve this, right?
Yeah, too. And there's times that you wonder, but you know what? When you endure, and you submit yourself to Christ during hardship. We got a lot of hardship going on in this class.
Amen.
Okay? Dave has been dealing with a lot. Joanne's been dealing with a lot. Okay? Brian's been dealing with a lot. Deb Wallace is dealing with a lot. Steve is dealing with a lot. There's a lot going on. When we endure through that, and we submit ourselves to the will of God, and we stay in His Word, and we pray, and we let Him minister to us through His Holy Spirit, it confirms to us who we are.
Amen.
And that is a huge, huge blessing. One corollary passage here, if you look at 1 Peter 1, 6-9, go ahead and look that up. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, says this. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, when you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor to the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory.
Amen.
If you go back to verse 7, it says that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold. Again, a lot of hands went up when we said, have you ever questioned your salvation? For those who've raised their hands, have you had times where after you've questioned your salvation, God has given you confirmation because of your following of Him and because of His speaking to you through His Word who you really are? And has that given you just beyond what gold can buy? Joy in your heart and joy in your soul. I am a child of God.
Amen.
He really did save me. I really am filled with the Holy Spirit. This is huge, huge stuff. And one place that's really huge is for those of us in this church who typically are taught really good, thorough doctrine, we understand the flip side. If we're not saved, we know what's going on the other part of that. We know what the wrath of God means eternally. And it's a frightening, frightening thing. Let alone the fact that we could just forfeit our entire existence in not giving glory to God. Okay? So when we get this confirmation, 1 Peter says it, the proof of your salvation being more precious than gold. Big, big stuff. And so when we talk about endurance in James, that's what he's referring to, Dave.
That 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible.
Inexpressible.
Glory.
Yep.
And that is the whole foundation of Jonathan Edwards' mature work called Religious Affections.
Okay.
And if and when you ever reach that point where you want to look into that, it'll bless your socks off.
Yep.
You'll be reading it for years. It's deep stuff. But boy, is it good.
Good. Philippians 2:12. We've all heard this many, many times, but Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? So for all the hands that went up, it's okay. Doesn't mean you're like a spiritual pygmy. Okay? He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He calls us to do this. He calls us, and that's what we're talking about here with endurance through trials. He calls us to look in the mirror, okay, as we're going through our life. Yeah, Jed.
One thing about that verse is what it doesn't say is work for your salvation with fear.
Right,
for sure.
I think I've read it a lot of times. I had that kind of ingrained in my mind as I was reading it.
Yep.
And just glossed right over it.
Yep. And what that gets back to really is the doctrine that we were saved,
right,
positionally and we are being saved operationally.
That's
okay,
right.
And that's really what we're talking about here. And some of the stuff in James, that's pertinent to the whole book of James. That's one of the big misunderstandings of the book of James,
right,
which is people are reading about works and they're thinking it's pertinent to salvation, which it's not. I had you underline, and again, we'll get into this later, but I had you underline at the end of verse 18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Okay? So that we would be first fruits. He brought us forth. Okay? I mentioned last week that Martin Luther detests basically the book of James because it seems to Luther that so much of the talk of works contradicts Paul's writings and teachings of grace, but that's not what he's saying.
Right.
As Jed just said. So anyway, so yeah, so Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So how does all this start? If you go back to verse 1, chapter 1 of James, it starts by being a bondservant. What is a bondservant?
Slave.
I knew that was going to happen.
For life, yeah.
A bondservant for life.
Right. Because a bondservant, my understanding was that they chose to be part of that family,
okay,
for life. It was a commitment they made. Because
okay,
in some cases, servitude could have been limited.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong, but if you look at the Old Testament, it seems like there's a part that talks about, if he decides to serve you for life, you're supposed to take him with the doorpost, you're supposed to put a hole in his ear,
mm-hmm,
you're supposed to do all
mm-hmm
that stuff, and then he's the bondservant. I'm like,
okay, very good. Dave said it's a slave. Is there a difference between a slave of Christ and a slave, in some other country that is, in shackles?
You got a good boss.
Yeah.
Got a good boss. Do you realize that we are slaves, but we have a master,
yeah, that's a good,
who is the most loving, compassionate, awesome, caring,
trustworthy,
glorious, trustworthy, faithful,
good father.
Good yeah, father.
Wants the absolute best for us.
Absolutely. So I agree with what Tree said. We are slaves, and this is paraphrasing, let's not crucify me theologically, but we are slaves by choice.
That's right.
This, what a bondservant is, in my humble opinion, is it's a slave who has the freedom to go.
But doesn't,
and doesn't go.
No.
So that's what the first step of all of this is, being a bondservant. If you look at Matthew 16:25, which is one of my favorite verses, somebody read that real quick. Matthew 16:25. You probably know it by heart, somebody.
For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
If you lose your life, that is a willing, culpable slavery. If you lose your life, okay? So again, a bondservant is a person who stays when he has the freedom to go. And you know what? When we're talking about enduring trials and temptations and so forth, what do we have the choice to do? Run from them.
Right.
We have the choice to run from them. I've had really, really deeply crushing things happen in my life, and I'm sure you have too. And by the grace of God, I learned a lot going through them rather than around them.
Amen.
I could have gone around them, and instead I cried to the ceiling and said, God, why are you doing this to me? And there's reasons for it all. So when it comes to losing your life instead of saving it and enduring so that we can learn, it's going through these things and not around them. This is what makes us... Jeannie, go ahead.
Are we right to ask God why he's doing this to us when it states that God does not do bad things to us or does not allow
mm-hmm
me? So when we cry out to him and use those words, mm-hmm. God, why are you doing this to me? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Is a different story. Mm-hmm. Lord, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. Is not putting blame on you.
Correct. Christ said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He wasn't challenging the Father. He wasn't running from the Father. He wasn't second-guessing his choice. He was crying out from a very, very deep hurt and pain. And we do that.
Amen.
Okay, which is why Psalm 103 says, he knows my frame.
That's right. We're dust.
Okay. I believe, personally, Jeannie, and this is just my opinion, I believe we have the right to ask God anything.
Amen.
I don't care what it is. We have the right to ask why to anything. What we don't have the right to do is to demand that he answers us or else. Yeah. Ziola, did I get that right?
Stop. I was just going to say, just like your husband just said, it's just like Job. Job did question why he went through all of that. And God's answer was basically, let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. And then Job was from, he humbled himself. Mm-hmm. Not. Mm-hmm. It's just, why are you going through something? Why not?
Yeah.
Who are you that you shouldn't?
Yep. And that gets back to what you just said, gets back to our choice to operate by the world's cliches or operate by Scripture. Because we do have the option, okay? God gives us the option, because we have volition, okay? To say, why me? And when we say, why me, with attitude, that we are disgruntled at the decision, and we're just not so sure we're going to do this, we're sinning.
That's right.
But when we say, my Lord, why are you doing this to me?
Right.
And you're crying and you're hurting, but you're submitting.
That's right.
And you're humbling yourself before him and his word, saying, though you kill me, because his ways are not our ways, and we don't know what he's doing.
It's for our
good. It's faith,
right?
As James said, that we endure, okay, so that we can become mature. If we whine and complain and say, why me? We stop right here and we never go any further. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And think of it this way, too. You know, we who are parents, you have your child come and, you know, why can't I do this, Dad? Why can't I do this, Mom? Because we know better. We know what's good for them. They may not understand it. So.
Yep. Becky.
Verse 2, right? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter.
Yes.
You know, oh, Lord, if you would do that in us, that when we encounter, that our first response would be, Lord, I don't know why, but I trust you.
Absolutely.
I know you're going to work this for good.
Yep.
You're interested, like Dave said, in my best. And what is the greatest good? Denise Hardy said this once. What is the greatest good, the greatest love, is that God is causing us to reflect Christ and that he's preparing us to meet him face to face.
Yeah.
So to have an eternal perspective of that.
Yep.
Help me to remember that, Lord, when I encounter you know, at the very first.
You know, back, I was trying to find it, so, and I'll say this and wrap up. I was trying to find this little 3x5 card back when I was going through my divorce. Tracy and I think we're dating at the time. I don't remember exactly the timing, but I was reading the Psalms every morning and Proverbs every morning, and I tell you what, man, God just like spoke right to my face through the Psalms. And there was one day where I finally realized something, and I wrote it down on a 3x5 card. I was going to bring it today, but couldn't find it. And I basically said this: you will never realize that Christ is all you need until he is all you have.
Amen.
And that's the point of these trials. When you're going through the trial, submit to it. Submit to the Lord. He is teaching you and he's training you. It's not pleasant,
right?
But it's fruitful. So let me pray and we'll wrap up. Father, thank you again for this day. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to pick up next week in a good manner where we left off. Lord, teach us this week to trust you.
Yes.
Teach us this week that when we have hardship and we don't see and we don't know, that we do know you're there. We do know that you are faithful. We do know that you're sovereign. God, help us in this room. Help the people in this room, including me, to trust you, Lord, so that we might become mature.
Yes. Yes.
We might be conformed to your image. In being mature, we might know you better. We might glorify you more. We might be able to be used by you in your church and elsewhere. So, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that aside from this lesson, aside from anything we've talked about, I know that you're faithful. And, Lord, we love you. Help us to love you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.